afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Rock Solid.
Oh, no.
Your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic.
That's Boz Skaggs over there.
Yeah, I'm Boz Skaggs sitting in for Pat Francis.
I'm Gary.
And I'm going to be singing Lido Shuffle. And I'm going to be singing Dirty Lowdown. My co-host for today is Gary Lucy.
I wonder, 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 wonder who.
I wonder, wonder, wonder,
thought this
wonder,
would be a good
who.
Idea.
I've never heard you transform your voice like that, Pat. That was, were it not so annoying, would have been amazing.
You know, it's funny. I just passed Boz Skaggs down the hall.
Oh, really?
Coming to microphone.
That's interesting.
Gary, how are you doing
today?
Never
knew who you're going to see here. Oh, man, I'm great. I'm another exciting show. God, it just, Rock Solid feels right lately. I don't know what it is. We're in a groove.
Are we? I agree. I'm kidding. I always like to be that guy that says, "Really? This is for to be funny."
I'm excited about Matt's impending arrival. Matt, how's that? How are the preparations going?
Good, good. I guess maybe by the time people hear this, I think we will have a baby.
Ooh.
Yeah. I mean, the three of us. Yeah. We're gonna remake Three Men and a Baby.
I was gonna say by the time people hear this, social services would have been at your house a couple of times.
Right. Stop recording podcasts when you're supposed to be feeding the baby.
Are you gonna be those people? Now I know this is your second baby, but are you gonna go, you know what? We're gonna do cloth diapers.
Hell no.
Gary, did you do cloth diapers?
No.
Good. I hate those people. Because if you did, I'd go, well, that's good for you. But since you said you didn't, I hate the people that go, you know, it's better for the environment. We're going to do cloth diapers. Okay, good luck.
But the other thing is, I love it when people say that, and then 2 weeks in, they're like, we can't do it.
We tried. It's ridiculous. There's shit everywhere.
On the other hand, taking one step further, if people really do manage to stick with it for 2 years, I kind of have to give them props, because that's amazing to be able to do that.
I have not known anyone that can stick with it.
I'm trying to think if I know
anyone. It's easy. There's a service. They come now. Forget it.
I actually, that was one of my favorite chores, was seeing how long of a string of pearls in the diaper genie you could get.
Oh, yeah. That's cool.
And you could like do that.
That was really cool.
That's a hard job, like changing the little liner. But
yes.
But once you,
that diaper genie is an amazing, amazing invention.
Who's this guy now?
It's a guy who loves inventions.
He loves inventions.
He's excited about the innovation.
We actually went with the cloth mother, like in that famous experiment with the wire monkey mother and the cloth mother. Because I care about my son, but not enough to give him a wire mother.
And Matt, we can reveal that the name you've chosen is Elvis Bryce Belknap.
That was Bacon. Bacon Belknap.
Bacon Belknap.
Yeah.
You have a middle name chosen also?
We're actually up in the air a week and a half out right now.
Actually,
we are still.
You got to see the dude and then you'll know.
Yeah, I think what's weird is we knew with Zoe, but this one I do kind of feel like we have to wait a little, like see what's up.
Are you going to be tipping the hat to any of the grandfathers for the middle name?
Is that even that's a possibility, but okay. I don't know yet. I don't know.
Yeah. What's Preston's middle name?
James Wilson. Named after James.
Preston James Wilson.
He has two middle names. Yeah, but
James Wilson. Okay.
Yeah, because that's Jane's dad is James Wilson.
Nice.
So, yeah, and it sounds more royal that way.
Preston James Wilson Lucy.
It's classy.
There's only one name that screws it up. It's that last one.
I know, Lucy. Exactly. He should just stop. Wilson. Maybe he will.
Do you ever,
I hate you, Dad.
Do you ever say to him, like, when he makes a mess or does something bad, you go, Lucy, you got some explaining to do.
I do, and that's racist. I do.
Is that a family tradition? Every generation passes on that bad joke.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. We've been surprisingly Lucy free. Like, somebody gave us a Lucy cookie jar for our wedding. But other than that, yeah. It's
and then when it's out of cookies and you open it, it just says,
Well, I just keep stuffing them in my mouth down the conveyor belt. So this drops May 3rd. And when is your expected?
The week before.
Yeah, April 25th.
So we might.
April 22nd?
Mm-hmm. 25th.
Okay.
We might take a little hiatus, but there'll be enough rock to tide you over, including this is something that everyone's talking about this group, and in case you haven't heard it, here's your chance. The Alabama Shakes. Have you been hearing about the Alabama Shakes?
No.
Well, they sound a little something like this.
Immediately, I think it's a country band.
they kind of work that winehousey neo soul thing,
okay,
but with a little bit more indie.
Like in the production.
The single, so I brought, but I've heard the rest of the album. It's, you know, a lot more up tempo numbers, and if you like kind of like Sharon Jones and that sort of thing, I think you'll like this.
I could even hear the Stones doing a cover of that.
Yeah, for sure.
Like they, when she said, "You got to come on, on," whatever she said.
Very early '70s Stones. Yeah,
yeah, so that's pretty cool.
That's a cool thing.
And they're called the Alabama.
The Alabama Shakes.
The Alabama Shakes,
not the Smoothies.
The Slammers.
The Slammers.
This is their first CD?
This is their first CD. And yeah, they were like the toast of South by Southwest this year. And I think they're at Coachella and everything. And just everyone's talking about the Alabama Shakes. But it seems like it'd be in the wheelhouse of our listeners. As with this song, I've been saying that, there's no good music this year. But this is one that that I've been liking a lot. It's the Cloud Nothings. And this is
Cloud
Nothings. Stay Useless. See if you like this. Things.
A little Green Day in there, maybe?
A little Green Day-ish, sure. Yeah,
so funny, I probably have about 1,000 songs in my iTunes that start exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly.
And yet I don't get sick of that ever.
No, it's
just that guitar and then the drums. And
I think of it as like, you know,
rock and roll, man.
The ingredients, like, you know, you got, you know, flour, water, eggs, salt, you know, it's just, it's like that. There's some basic ingredients, but you can go a lot of different ways in that. You
That's
could
right.
add a cha-cha-cha.
You could just, you could make paste or you could make a cake.
Paper mache.
You brought up Coachella. I just want to say, enjoy that weather, Coachella.
That was 3 weeks ago, Pat.
I hope they had their umbrellas with them because it was raining.
It's over.
They needed their bumper suits.
You muddy, dirty hippies.
You might as well be talking about Lollapalooza 94.
Yeah, good luck with that. Woodstock 2, the
Throw
fires.
Mud.
Gary, you want to do this? Topic today was, do you have any other business?
You know what? There's a new Beck song, but I think we could probably hold off.
Brand new Beck?
Yeah, but it's just like from a soundtrack, so that doesn't really count.
Is it from the Avengers soundtrack?
To hell with you, Beck. No, it's from Jeff, who lives at home.
Wow.
All right, well, this just,
yeah, play it.
You just play it. It's like, there's silly Beck and there's serious Beck, and let's see which, let's see which one this one is.
Silly.
No, exactly.
No. Nah.
It's kind of cool. Actually, he's deceptively profound. Like, everyone thinks, oh, he's a slacker or whatever, but he's got things on his mind.
His time is a piece of wax.
His time is a piece of...
Floating on a termite.
Yeah, floating on a termite.
Choking. I'm not something.
Let the memory die away.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Jeff Lives at Home. It's supposed to be a good movie.
Has he ever fought David Spade in Celebrity Deathmatch?
I don't know.
I think that would be a good matchup.
Yeah. Even matchup.
Evenly matched. Well, until he Beck grabs a hold of Spade's wig.
And then calls down the power of Zemu.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Beck would have Zemu, and Spade would only be armed with his rapier wit. So it would be a fair fight.
Gary.
But, would you like to play another game before we go on? I should have quit when I was ahead, because that last game was...
Okay.
This is something...
Is that a reigning endorsement? Well...
I like okay. that last one.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Let's try it.
Matt, I need 30 seconds on the clock.
Whoa,
here.
Another time game.
My clock? Or...
Okay, no, I'll just go ahead and do it. But Pat, you were bragging last show about that. You know where all the Subways are? So
you mean Subway sandwich shops?
Subway sandwich shop, yeah. So I'm going to...
I know where all the Subways are, too. They're underground.
That's right.
Was that on the last show, or was that just before... I think you were just saying that in conversation.
Oh, that's right. Okay, never mind.
Well,
yeah,
it was, might have been a tweet that
yeah,
you were...
It was a tweet that I know somebody...
Pat likes to, every week, he comes in, and because we refuse to follow him on Twitter, he'll just read every single tweet that he wrote.
Yeah, I do this with my wife, too. My wife's like, I follow you. Can't I just read them? I'm like, let me read this one to you.
This is more of an audible.
More often than not, my wife said... She'll say, don't tweet that, but I will anyway, or else I'll say, oh, I've already tweeted it. Gary, go ahead.
I've had some forced spousal retractions of posts, and like, you can't say that. Okay, 30 seconds on the clock. Mm-hmm. I want you to name as many Subway locations you can, and then, Matt, what's your jam? What do you want to name some Starbucks locations?
Why is this happening?
Okay. I'll tell you, okay, I'll name some Starbucks locations, and I'll see if I can get more.
Like, yeah, yeah. Okay. Why don't I do the clock?
Okay.
I have 30 seconds.
So little interest
30,
in this.
No, what do you want? 30 seconds, and I'll count. Just like tell us.
So what do you want? You just want a street address? You want
a vague street address. Okay. Cross streets.
Okay.
Hold on. I need to get my clock here. Oh,
this is going to be good. This is going to be exciting. These are in the LA area.
So yes. So this will mean nothing to anyone.
On your mark, get set, go.
There's one at Ventura and DeSoto. Mm-hmm. There's one at Ventura and Topanga. There's one at Victory and DeSoto. There's one at Van Owen and Balboa. There's one at Ventura and Woodman. There's one at Ventura and Oakwood. There's not as many as I thought.
You know what? And you could just be saying anything. We're not going to verify whether they are there or not.
There's one at Lucy and Belknap. There's one at the corner.
So how many was that? Six?
That was six.
I know more than that, but I just it's hard to remember.
What's your favorite Subway? Is there one where they really do it right?
Well, the one by my house is nice and clean, and they always say, hello, sir. So I like that one.
There's one at La Brea and Third.
There's one at La Brea and Tar Pit.
Do they let you use the bathroom at your favorite one?
Sure. It's
some,
clean.
Some they don't let you use the bathroom.
No, I'd even do a sit down there at that one. That's how clean it is.
Wow. That is a ringing endorsement.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm going to put that on Yelp. Okay. I'll go Starbucks in the Valley. Or
this game's not as fun as I thought it would be. Go ahead. They just start them.
Okay. Ready?
Can edit
mark,
this out.
Get set. Go.
Okay. Ventura and Louise. Ventura and Haskell, Ventura near Laurel Canyon. Let's see, how about Louise and Satakoi? And then there's also one at Reseda and Victory. Then how about the one over there at
This is the tie.
Coldwater.
Time. Couldn't do it.
Oh, man.
This Pat is one.
Well, what we've learned is not a good game. And who cares?
What I like about it is that it's specific to this area, so no one is going to care, and it's has nothing to do with music.
Now,
it has everything.
Just so people know, I only named six.
Yeah.
But there are only seven locations in the state of California.
That's true.
So I named six of the seven. I got to find out why that seventh one is. So, Gary, I eat fresh, and you like to get hopped up on go-go juice.
That's what we learned here. Right. Sorry, that was bad. Oh, man. I got to learn that quick present.
Well, let's get to music
let's
and quickly.
Matt, give us that social distortion at about a minute 39, if you would if you'd be so kind.
Gary's music for the second week in a row, not organized, so I have to hunt and peck. You've got 20 tracks here.
Sorry.
Here it is.
Guy's too busy memorizing Starbucks. Okay. stations to get his music in order.
Oh, could you bump it up to like a minute 39? Oh.
Let's just hear this riff for a second.
Sorry. It's the story of my life. Today's show is all about songs that could be the title of chapters in our biography, or maybe even the title of the book itself. So maybe the songs have a special meaning to us, some deep profundity that in our lives, and be a chance to, like, you know, because we've done 43 shows now, and we know each other a little bit, but maybe a little, yeah, little way to get a little further inside.
Sure.
And, you know, get the songs we might not otherwise hear. Now, if I had a song, pick a song as the title of my autobiography, the first one I thought of was If You Could Go to the Feelies at about a minute in. Seemed like, oh, obviously the choice would be The Boy with the Perpetual Nervousness, you know, because I'm, I sort of run towards the squirrely, you know, not well, a lot of.
Because you're. Spending all your time at Starbucks.
Maybe yeah. Too much time.
With the caffeine, buddy.
Yeah.
Too much caffeine.
Chill it out.
You could go ahead and play some of this because we're going to fail out.
H2NO.
Yeah, maybe I'm mixing some water. But so, yeah, you know, I could go with the feelies. You know, this kind of captures my. This is like being around me, right? Like, not.
Kind of.
Kind of like jittery. Kind of like, why is he so nervous? Why is he so. But then I thought, well, I want to actually sell some copies of this book. So if we could go to Heavy D at about 30 seconds in. This one really captures my personality. Pat, the overweight lover's in the house. Time to make my move. So gently I kiss her, twisting in her ear, and tell her that I miss her. She might try to pop the boyfriend jump, but I don't really care because I know he's a punk. I'll stop him like a roach if he tries to approach. He can't get close because I'm the one who broke the book of romance. So come on, take a chance. You don't need a long look. All you need is a glance. If you want to get warm, in my arms you belong. You have a problem, help us solve him if it can't go wrong. When overweight lovers in the house, the overweight lovers in the house, the overweight lovers in the house. The bad thing about that song is you really don't learn a lot of seduction techniques from it. It's just a lot of boasting.
Again, I said it before the show. I don't know if that song was supposed to be funny or not. Like, when I heard it as a kid, I thought it was the funniest thing I'd ever heard. Because, like, who on earth would give themselves that title?
I've never heard that before. I do not get those stations on my radio.
Well, even Heavy D sounds like... Chunky A later. That's right. Arsenio Hall's alter ego.
I listen to WITE, and we do not get those songs on our station.
Heavy D may rest in peace. Pat, what do you got for
me? I wasn't really sure exactly. I emailed Gary twice last night. I'm like, I don't know how this topic's working today. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to play side three of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti in its entirety.
Okay,
no.
Let's go.
Okay, so I'm just going through my life, and I'm just and as a kid, there wasn't a lot of music played in my house. Mm-hmm. You know, we had the big hi-fi, and from time to time, my mom would stack up some records. So I'm just going to play three quick tracks of the kind of music that was actually played in my house.
Oh, good.
By my mom. So this first one is we'll just play them. We'll just play them. This is the Rays. Took a walk and passed your house late last night. It's called Silhouettes. All the shades were pulled and drawn
way down tight from within the dim. I like this. I can get down with this.
And then they would also listen to Tommy Edwards. Many a tear after fall. But it's all in the game. Pause it for a second. And then my parents weren't a big Frank Sinatra fan. You know, we didn't like that, you know, that's fucking stupid mook. So, but we did like, but they
bastard,
did like Dean Martin.
Oh, wow.
So we'd have a lot of Dean Martin at the house. Everybody loves somebody sometime. Everybody falls in love somehow. So now, if you listen to that, it would sound like every night my parents would get out in the middle of the dance in the living room and do the stroll.
Yeah.
Be like they're having some kind of a dance party, a slow dance party. But that's I guess that those type of songs were the first music that I was introduced to as a kid. Those are the songs I remember pumping out of that gigantic piece of furniture called a hi-fi.
Exactly. And the kind of songs that would make you rebel with some rock and roll.
Right. Yeah. Although I do still like those songs. I can get down with those songs.
Yeah, for sure. That's good stuff.
But, so that's the way the track that my part of the show is going to go. So keep going.
Awesome. I have lived in Los Angeles since 1999.
Mm-hmm.
90s, I lived in Portland.
Mm-hmm.
I was born in Oakland. I like to get hyphy, you know that.
Yeah.
And in between there for the end of the 70s and the 80s, I lived in the 408, little town known as San Jose. Let's hear that, Matt, as I said.
What the hell does that mean?
Come on, the 408. Everybody knows the 408.
Is that a band or an album or a song?
Go with the San Jose, the one that tracks San Jose.
Do you know the way to San Jose?
It is. See if you could name who does this cover.
Oh, I was right.
Yeah. You'll never guess in a million years. Somebody who could have been on the F show.
Oh, okay.
To San Jose, I've been away so long.
This is atrocious.
Yeah, it is.
Know the way to San Jose. I'm going back to find some peace of mind in San Jose. LA is a great.
Any guesses, Pat?
I have no idea.
Pat, relax.
Relax.
Relax. Don't do it.
And think about it. Don't
is this Frankie Goes to Hollywood?
It is indeed, yes. But so I'm living in San Jose in the late 70s, early 80s. Which is like living in Florence, Italy during the Renaissance, if you're into computers, you know, that's the place to be.
That's true.
I wasn't interested in that. That's boring. I wanted to be on the radio. So I was like, why don't you play that song, The Sports? This is a song called Who Listens to the Radio, which I should have taken heed of. This song you'll like if you enjoy The Hold Steady. It's kind of got that kind of vibe.
I like this.
It's kind of cool, huh?
It's good.
This is our only hit, yeah.
Is this Jimmy Barnes and Cold Chisel?
Here comes a big hook. I'm just about three or four credits shy of a radio announcing degree from San Jose State, but
it's not too late.
It's not too late. I might go back and get
we should do a week where we play all songs that have radio in the title. I know there's tons.
Oh, that's not bad. I'm gonna write that down here.
Hey, Gare, so you've been in California your entire life,
more or less. Yeah, the 90s I was in Oregon, but more or less been in California.
Wow, because you look like I see you and I go that guy had to spend some time in St. Louis.
I do have that.
I just feel like you're a St. Louis guy.
All right, cool. a lot of barbecue shaped like an arch.
So I'm growing up and I'm listening to the music I played earlier, and then my brother graduated high school in 1976. Uh-huh. So like his formative years were right in the 70s with, and you would think that my brother would be listening to Deep Purple,
yeah,
and Fog Hat and
playing something cool,
Bad Company. But my brother wasn't. What my brother did was he just. The music that we grew up with, that's the music that just my brother still listens to. He listens, he's 52 years old. He listens to Andy Williams and he listens to.
Oh, dear.
So I was not really down with anything that he would listen to. And then he brings in 1970, he brings home an album by Neil Diamond called Taproot Manuscript. And this song is a precursor.
One of my favorite video games, by the way.
This is a precursor to Billy Joel's "We Didn't Start the Fire." I want you to play the beginning and then jump to a minute 30 for the for the close. But this is done too soon. He's just going to rattle off a bunch of people. I don't even know what instrument that is.
Taproot.
Jesus Christ, Fanny Bryce, Wolfie Motes.
Ho Chi Minh, Gunga Din,
Lynn Lucen,
John Wilkes Booth, and
Alexander's King, and
Graham Bell. Okay, now stop it. And so he names all these people, and then we find out about these people at a minute 30.
They're all Libras.
Wait, listen.
And each one of them.
Each one of them.
Has one thing shared. They have sweated beneath the same sun.
So they're all from Earth? Look, that's the connection.
It's going to get deep on you.
And wept when it was all done. Being done too soon.
Done too soon.
Being done too soon.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I'm not following it.
So,
yeah, these people we've all been around, and then it's all the same for us. We die, and you know, it just wasn't long enough. Life wasn't long enough.
Tell it, like, so, that's what I say when I think of Ho Chi Minh, I think taken too soon.
What about Gunga Din?
Yeah, well, he was, you know. Yeah,
Graham Bell really wedges them in there.
What's that title again?
That's Done Too Soon from Taproot Manuscript.
Oh, that is awesome.
And
I thought that was going to be about
a concept album, too, by Neil.
I thought that was going to be about my mother in law's biscuits. You know what I'm saying? Undercooked they are.
So that was my first, and you know, I remember, you know, I'm 6 years old, and I'm like, hey, man, that is deep. I'm like Sammy Davis, cat.
That touches me.
I've liked Neil Diamond ever since. Believe it or not, that was my initiation.
Oh, God.
That album also has Cracklin' Rosie on.
Okay.
So go ahead, Gary.
God
what
bless
happened?
Your brother. Thank you for that. That has enriched my life. Thank
Gary's
you.
Laughing like a jackass.
It. That was
not a
wonderful.
Jackass, like a hyena.
Wonderful, wonderful. Pat, yeah, I think we need a little palate cleanser on that. How about some Carpenters?
Oh,
some Carpenters, and this will be self-explanatory, I think, within the first couple of notes.
Stop! Whoa! Yes! Wait a minute, Mr. Postman.
Hey, wait a minute! Someone in this room delivered mail.
I did. From 93 to 97, I was a letter carrier with the U.S. Postal Service up in Portland, and I always thought it would be a good job because you get to walk around outside, and I love the stripe on the pants leg, so that was always good for me, and if you work there a month, you understand why the term going postal, like,
right?
It just really. It just never ends. It's this Sisyphusian. You think, oh, I finally delivered all that mail.
More mail.
Yeah, more mail. But yeah, so that was. But I made a lot of good friends there that I'm still in touch with, and it felt like, you know, because up to then I'd worked like hipster teenager jobs, like bookstore and record store and stuff. But I got hired at the post office the day Kurt Cobain died. So it felt very like, you know, if there was like a movie, it'd be like, you know, I got the job. That's great. Gary, did you hear? You know, it'd be like that kind of movie. So it was like, it was time to grow up, Pat. But then like I said, you know what? This is miserable and I hate this. And I always wanted to do something in comedy. And then I heard this song.
Okay.
And this was the song that changed my life and made me quit my job and like pursue my dreams. It's by a band called The Warm Wires. And I have an interesting story about them afterwards. And this song is called Fabulous Guru.
None of my friends do what they want. All of my friends are scared. None of my friends reach for their dreams. All of my friends get snared.
But I want to be a fabulous guru, but I'm a part of the nervous crew. If your parents recognize that voice, that guy, he gave up his indie rock dream and he went on and he does the music for Wow Wow Wubsy. Do you ever watch that?
That's
Wow Wow Wubsy, yeah, Wubsy Wubsy Wow Wow.
That's the same guy. Isn't that crazy? But that was the song, and you know, and cool. I went and saw their concert. I'm like, you guys made me quit my job, and he felt like a sense of responsibility, you know, yeah. for it. So, but no, I was happy for it. But you know, people are going to do what they're going to do.
That's
it's
true,
not like a thing. But I'm forever in the Wow Wow Wubsy guy's debt. Anyway, so Pat, we move back to you.
So, and Matt, this next track you're going to have to start it at 33 because mm-hmm. I didn't. But let me do a little thing. So so after being introduced to Neil Diamond, and it was time for me to start. Buying music, I would buy 45s, and I loaded up on some Stephen Bishop and some Jay Ferguson and
Thunder Island
and all these, and then and of course this is one of the first 45s I had. I can still remember the label. It was green and had like a choo-choo train with a face on it that almost looked like
Thomas.
Yeah, and this is Cliff Richard from 76 and Devil Woman.
Oh, she's just a devil woman.
Crystal ball on the table.
Spooky.
It's got that great floor tom like funk.
It's not a bass.
Same cat with them evil eyes. And I knew it was a spell she cast. She's just a devil woman with evil on her.
Matt, do you remember this?
No.
Nope, nothing.
She's gonna get you.
I also had... Thin Lizzy, the boys are back in town, and it was backed with Jailbreak, and I'm like, this is great.
This is the best.
This is the best double. I'm going to call this a double A-side.
The popular trope at the time, yeah, the devil woman, the evil woman, the
evil
witchy woman,
witchy woman, all the these.
Voodoo queen.
I mean, it still goes on in 2012. Women are evil.
That's if there's one thing we learned.
We should burn them.
We should burn them.
So then, Gary, yes. I get into, you know, I'm in 76, I'm in 6th grade, 6th, 7th, 8th grade. And they would have dances at the YMCA on Saturday nights. And I talked about this on Never Not Funny once. And then I had a song that I would listen to when I was getting ready for the dance, you know, feathering my hair and probably putting some hairspray in it,
yes.
and popping a pimple and sure. all the stuff that I was doing and putting on some Cologne. Is that how you say it?
Nice.
And this is the song I would listen to when I was getting ready. This is Boston. Let me take you home tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
Like this, I'm really kind of shy, but I get this feeling whenever you walk by.
I'm getting ready to dance, man.
I don't want to damn you, I want to make you high. If you could see your way to me, come on and let me try. Let me take you home tonight. Mama, now
Gary, I'm not taking anyone home tonight.
No, how would that even work?
No, I'm not taking anyone home.
Hop all on the handlebars.
All I'm thinking about is if am I going to have the balls to ask Mimi Wirtz or Sherry Monahan or Bridget Agner to dance with me? That's all I'm thinking about.
And are they going to have the guts to tell you,
to tell
get
me,
your boner off of my leg?
What is that from? Where did we hit?
Actually, when we were driving home right. from the airport, one time after a thing, yeah, I think we were talking about that.
Yeah, and who said that?
I said that.
That's right. That's
and
right.
You guys laughed. Like, right. I wasn't even. I just said it, and you and Jimmy laughed.
Yeah, you said it, and
so
we laughed
hard.
For about 15 minutes straight. Harder. It's so hard. Yeah, it was hysterical. So go ahead. Your turn.
This show is a smashing success so far that we've heard that story. Like, you know, that song is like what, like 8th or 9th on the Boston Depth chart.
Yeah,
you know,
on the first album.
But you know, you wouldn't like it. Wouldn't be the first one, but it's a great song. And now whenever I hear it, I can think of you just like totally with the comb
ready. Too much hairspray.
Your Angel Flight slacks.
Oh, just
and everything. Oh, bravo, Pat. Bravo. Well done. Let's see. Oh, we were talking about Witchy Woman. This is the opposite of that. My lovely wife, Jane. So many great Jane songs. And,
yeah.
And certainly she's sweet. And she says things. So many of But I wanted to... she's actually... Here's how sweet she is. She is right now, while I'm talking to you, jackasses, she's down in South Central picking up this single mom that our church sponsors with... she has a single mom, 6 kids. She's helping her get her... immigration status straightened out. That's the kind of thing she does for fun.
And where's Preston right now?
He's with them because, you know, she has kids and
oh, like he's gonna
stuff.
Learn. He's gonna learn bad things then.
Exactly. Yeah. No. Yeah. Thank God.
He might come back with his pants at half mast and his hat backwards.
We can only hope because he's not learning anything cool from me. But
be singing the theme from Good Times. It's yeah. not gonna be good.
So I was trying to put.
He's not going back in time, Pat.
Are you sure?
He said, I went to South Central. Not, he didn't say he's going to 1989.
They are in a DeLorean.
It's true. It's a PT Cruiser. You know what song I think crystallizes my sweet wife is this very obscure power pop gem called "The Girl with the Light in Her Eyes" by Michael Shelley. A minute 49. Could have been on the last show.
When it's dark and there's nothing good waiting around the corner, though I'm all dressed in black, don't count me a mourner. It's the voice that I hear. You've all gone deaf, but to me it's clear. It's a girl with the light in her eyes.
If you've seen Jane, you certainly know she has that sparkly eye thing going on. And I want to play a song that sort of like sums up like what marriage means to me and stuff. And I was thinking about Magic Carpet Ride, because it's like that, you know, in Big Lebowski, how he talks about how the rug, it pulls the room together, you know. And that's that's what marriage has really done for me. It really kind of made sense of my life and gave it some order and context and everything like that. But then instead I opted for this one from Big Star, When My Baby's Beside Me. Because when my baby's beside me, Pat, I don't worry. On the Big Rock Solid program.
I love the tambourine because it's an instrument that you do not need to take lessons.
Anyone can play.
Anyone can play it. You can play it with any song. It's awesome.
Yes.
So let's continue on my musical journey through life. So I'm buying 45s. Not really buying albums yet. I maybe have Fleetwood Mac Rumors. I maybe have, you know, I have Eagles Greatest Hits. But I haven't really discovered my band yet until I turn on the radio one day and I hear this introduction. This is all I needed.
Yes.
To want me.
And I was like, what the heck is this? And that's all we're going to play. We know it. We've heard it. It's been played ad nauseum. It still gets played.
You think, and those Japanese girls are excited. Were they Sweden in post?
I know. What is going on here? Why does it sound like a continuous loop of the same cheer? But that was my introduction to Cheap Trick. And then I bought at Budokan, and I bought the three albums that were before that. And then from then, day of release, I'm a Cheap Trick guy. They're my favorite band.
Nice.
Just that I want you to want me. I'm like, I've never heard Stage Patter so perfectly done. He just said the song title.
Just says it out loud. So,
and then
the new Rolling Stone, they list the 25 best things about rock, and one of them was rock right now, and one of them was that Cheap Trick is still going strong.
Yeah, that's okay. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you, Rolling Stone.
Yeah.
And so then, you know, I started to get into music, and now it's time to get into concerts.
Yes.
So my first concert was in 1979 at the Pittsburgh Civic Arena. Uh-huh. I didn't drive. My parents weren't going to let me drive in 79. So my friend Bump Hallbritter, nice. Scott isn't, but everyone called him Bump Hallbritter because when he was a kid, he would bump his crib against the wall and his parents nicknamed him Bump.
And then when he was trying to do more cocaine.
So yeah. So we would go in. When you went to a concert in Pittsburgh, your parents would drop you off at a store called Uncle Joe's Woodshed. Seriously. I can't make that up. And you would get on a blue and white bus, and they would drive you to the Pittsburgh Civic Arena, and you would get out and you'd see the concert, and then they would bring you back. It was like a bus tour. So my first concert was in I think June or July of 1979. This is the album that they were touring with, and let me tell you something.
Yes,
you know who this group is.
Awesome.
Girl, I was made for you.
Yes.
Girl, you were made for me.
And when I talk to guys my age, Kiss was a lot of people's first concert. Gary?
Because you had to go. I didn't end up seeing it until that first reunion, like in 95 or whatever, but it felt like it could have been 79. Yeah. But I wanted to go so bad. There's this picture of me like sitting in my beanbag chair, like studying Kiss Alive 2, like the Talmud.
It's crazy.
Like, I had to get there.
I remember looking at this, the Kiss Dynasty cover. It's just their four faces. Yeah. They're all close together and the hair kind of blends together.
Yeah.
And I read later that they actually cobbled that together from a bunch of, from the photo section. Like they took Paul Stanley's eyes from one picture and his lips from another.
Really?
And they pieced it all together. Yeah, that's what I read.
Oh my God.
That's what I read in my Kiss Army newsletter. And, but I don't know what it was about that cover. I would just stare at it. And then, I remember the concert was great, but now anything I read about the Dynasty tour, it's all, those shows were terrible. The band wasn't getting along. Peter could hardly play. But when I was there, I'm like, this is great.
This is the best thing I've ever seen.
So we jump, jumping back to Gary.
I'm so jealous.
This show's going to go a little bit long, I think, guys.
No, I think we're in the home stretch, but, is that the place where they filmed that heavy metal parking lot? Is that the same arena?
Pittsburgh Civic Arena? I'm not sure about that.
Oh, yeah. Anyway.
I thought that might have been filmed in Baltimore.
Oh, really? Oh, you know what? You're right. That is in, the D.C. area. Never mind.
Maybe the the Meriwether Post Pavilion or something. Go ahead.
So this is, now I'm having a little sunny boy, and this is my favorite kind of album about fatherhood is XTC, Oranges and Lemons. With
not Cats in the Cradle?
No. Okay. No, that's a bad song about father.
Oh, it is.
But I think this is a song about his baby. It's called Pink Thing. This is.
Anytime you rise, I'm crazy for your pink thing.
You don't think so? It's about his wiener?
I think this is about his penis.
Oh no.
Yeah.
When I stroke your head, I hear 100 heartbeats.
And the first thing he said, anytime you rise.
Well, where do you think babies come from?
Well, that's true.
Oh, yeah, and he says, I want to take you out and show you to the girls. Oh, my God, this is a terrible mistake.
It was a nice idea, Gary.
I'm going to wake you from your slumber.
There's other songs about his baby on this album, but I just picked this one first. Spit in my face? Oh, this is about his dick. Oh, okay. Well, this is terrible. But that leads me to this next one.
Gary, pull out a lyric sheet for God's sake.
Oh man, it seems so obvious now. Well, this speaks to my anxieties about fatherhood because right now Preston seems cute and all the things he does are cute. But what if they're not cute later? And what if I don't know what to stop him? And what if my things that were cute when I was little and I didn't stop him? And what if I'm damaged now because of that? And I can't help him. It's all summarized here in this song. It's called it's an acapella number. Minute 46, Uncorrected Personality Traits from Robin Hitchcock. Check this out.
Uncorrected personality traits that seem whimsical in a child may prove to be ugly in a fully grown adult. Lack of involvement with the father or over-involvement with the mother can result in lack of ability to relate to sexual beings. And in homosexual leanings, narcissism, transsexuality, girls from the waist up, men from the waist down, attempts to be your own love object. Reconcile your parents to you by becoming both at once. Even Marilyn Monroe was a man, but this tends to get overlooked by our mother-fixated, overweight, sexist media. So, uncorrected.
Anyway, so you know, I have some issues.
Now,
but I think it's going to work out.
That was from the soundtrack of Life of Brian, right? Monty Python.
It kind of sounds like that. He's got a good sense of humor, Robin Hitchcock.
Okay, I'm jumping from my first concert, Kiss. I'm jumping to 1995.
Uh-oh.
Lots of stuff has happened. Lots of good stuff. Lots of bad stuff. But I'm going to jump right into meeting my wife Pilar, and we met in 95 when we were dating, and we were falling in love, and we went and we saw Jerry Maguire.
Ew.
And
Dad, come on, that's
so
movie.
Embarrassing.
And this this Springsteen song was in Jerry Maguire, and we loved this song. This is a Secret Garden. This is our song.
This is also about Robin Hitchcock's penis. Oh wait, right now I mixed it up.
XTC's penis. Bruce's vagina.
Big time. Would you say I'm a rat? That was the working title of this album. If you pay the price, she'll let you deep inside. There's a secret
cottage she has. Beautiful.
So that was our song. It still is kind of our song.
It's a great song.
But when it was time to pick in 98 when we got married, it was time to pick a song to dance to it, or your first dance at your wedding. And we had just seen a movie, a lot of movie stuff. We'd just seen a movie, Object of My Affection, with Paul Rudd and Jennifer Aniston. And Sting did a version of You Were Meant for Me.
Oh.
So we picked, let's hear a little bit of it. You think you can. We thought, wow, that'd be a good song to do our first dance to.
You. Is this the Jewel song?
That different. Yeah, it sounds very different.
I think this is a standard.
Oh. You were meant
for me. So we pick this song. We take dance lessons.
Yeah.
We take dance lessons out here. The day of our wedding, it's the first dance. And, we realize, hey, this song's boring to dance to. You really can't do much. You're just kind of slow. And I'm like kind of, I was all stiff. I wasn't good at our first dance, and it was not a good first dance and way to kick off your life together. So we were kind of like disappointed that wasn't a good dance. And then right in the middle of our wedding reception, my nephew, who was 10 at the time, he went up and he requested a song, and he requested this song.
Hold on. The cops are coming. Okay.
They're here to...
You hear it? That's not our song. We didn't dance to police sirens.
Fuck the police? That's what you guys picked?
Go ahead.
So my nephew requested this song.
Every moment spent with you.
Also from a movie.
Nice.
So Pilar and I went out and we danced up a storm to this song, and we just agreed, you know what, that was our wedding dance. That ended up being our big wedding dance was Aerosmith's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing.
So you hadn't danced yet, but they were already playing, people were dancing and songs were being played?
No, we had danced, and then later my nephew...
So you did dance the Sting song?
We did dance the Sting song poorly.
But you've rewritten history. This is what's happening here.
No. Well, no, I'm saying then later on at the wedding reception, my nephew requested that song. And that's when we really danced, and we felt like, okay. That was really our time to shine.
Mm-hmm. And then an asteroid, an asteroid collided, and
I had to leave. Yeah. And we had to get on a big rig with Ben Affleck and Bruce Willis and a bunch of other misfits.
Does Pilar have to see like every movie with her job? She's like a screenwriting teacher.
She tries to see as much, especially around Oscar time. And but no, she won't go see the Three Stooges But she wants to see Cabin in the Woods. She tries to see big movies by certain genres, or indie things that you hear. Hey, you have to see this
just to stay up that way.
Yeah, you have to.
What's her favorite movie? Would you say?
Oh my god!
This is like Newlywed Game all of a sudden, gentlemen.
Oh my god! I know she. I don't. My what is? I do know her favorite movie, but I know that she
Soul
likes.
Plane.
I know that she likes
Soul Plane.
She does. It's cliche, but she does like Citizen Kane.
Okay,
And she does like the she does like Dog Day Afternoon.
Sure.
And then I guess it would be Diary of a Wimpy Kid 2.
That was a pretty good movie.
Roderick's Revenge.
I like that one.
All right, go ahead, your turn.
How's about hearing that Super Chunk song right there, Matt, if you can see that. This is this little number called Throwing Things. I just want to give you a little taste of that by way of introducing the topic of when I was in college, I had this thing, like I had to throw things. I was I don't know why. Like I was
like a fit. You would throw a fit.
I would throw a fit, but more like I would like I love to like get old appliances, and I live right by this parking garage, like this 7-story structure,
and I get like
an old refrigerator or something, and I dolly it like all the way around up to the top, and like throw it off, or like I'd steal lawn gnomes and throw them off.
You were doing what David Letterman was doing. building.
There was a little bit of that, but then like I would go to a grocery store and I'd like open up a canned ham and just like huck a ham like down the thing and.
You'd open up a canned ham at the grocery store and like roll it down the aisle?
Yeah, just like all slimy and everything, and just
and
like
you don't have to pay for that. You don't have to. You don't get in trouble.
One time, a ham hit like this wine display, and it just like
how many hams did you throw?
That was a period. I would open up some diapers and I'd put them in some diapers. I was just like acting out. I don't know what I was doing. I was like, 1920, something like that. I was like in my mind, it was like an art thing. Like I wanted to create something beautiful and chaotic, but something that like people would say like, I was at the store today. And I saw this ham in a diaper, something like that. That was like my end point of it, I think. But
when you would walk in, would you hear this? Gary in aisle 3, and they would just know there would be a cleanup.
I didn't even think about it that, because like some poor bastard had to clean that up.
Yeah.
And I didn't even think about that. So
I can't believe you didn't get caught.
So I'm sorry about that.
I can't believe I'm going to try this today.
So then I said, I need a new hobby. And that's when I started to do a lot of swimming. So here's Tahiti 80 from the great album Puzzle. Swimming suit. It's gonna give you all you need. Forget about tomorrow. Don't traumatize the things you did. I got so into swimming, and I got into synchronized swimming.
Please tell me that you would take two canned hams, punch a hole in them, and use them for floaties. Please tell me you did that.
It was art.
He wanted people
to be at the pool and be like, I saw
this.
Why
is he doing that?
I saw this guy. He would take a stroke, and then as he would breathe, he would take a bite out of a ham.
Did you ever put them on your fists like gloves and just start?
Hulk hands?
And you just start going, I'm ham fisted.
You would just go, ham smash.
I'm going to write up a grant proposal.
I'm going to write up a sketch for John Ham called Ham Fisted and send it to SNL.
But anyway, so the bottom line is get that Tahiti. Help him forget about what I said about throwing things. But I got deeply into like swimming, and like I got into synchronized swimming. I wrote a movie about synchronized swimming, but unrealized.
With Martin Short and Harry Shearer?
No, I fucking hate that sketch. It makes mockery of the greatest sport.
You don't like that sketch?
No.
In that sketch, Martin Short looks exactly like the Tom York from Radiohead.
Wow, you're right.
Every time I see the guy from Radiohead, I think, oh, that's him.
I'm not a strong swimmer.
All right, Pat, what do you got?
All right, well, I'm going to jump to, it's the year 2000, and we have our first child, Sarah Ray Dodson, and in 2000 she comes
along.
Spoiler
alert, Pat's last name is not Francis.
No, it's not. It's my name's Dodson. So,
it's now Nissan.
People know. I think people know. But Don Henley released this album in 2000 with a song called Taking You Home, and this just made me so cry, because I felt it was like... It's about bringing your first baby home. At least that's how I heard it.
Before you came, I had my friends and my freedom. I had my name. Still there was sorrow. Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Bring that baby home.
Bring that baby home.
So that's now.
Nice. That's nice. I never heard that.
Cut to like a year after Sarah's born, and she is the worst sleeper in the world. We're putting her in baby carriage and pushing her around the apartment. We're doing everything we can do. Matt, Zoe is not a great sleeper, and we're rocking her and doing everything we can do. And then we discovered that she really liked this Rod Stewart song from 2001 from his album called Human. The song's called I Can't Deny It. She liked this song so much that we had to put this on the list for babysitters. You have to play this song. It's in the player. It's track 11 or 10, whatever it was. And you have to rock her back and forth through this song, and she'll fall asleep. And here it is.
Yeah, yeah. How can I tell you how much I love you?
Pat is rocking the baby. He's actually playing with a yo-yo, and he's doing the rocking the baby. Now, does Sarah listen to this now?
I was wondering if it would be like a Pavlov's dog thing. I just put it on, and she like falls over. All right. So yeah, I can't deny it.
That's so fun. If that was in a movie, I would say, "Oh, come on!"
I know. and then everyone would come in and have a group sing along as they're doing the dishes. And
exactly.
Then
funny because it's not a soft or quiet.
Yeah. No, it's
slow
not
song.
A song at all. And we would be playing it loud too, and she was just boing.
She's gonna be a rock critic. I think.
I guess so. Well, critique that is bad.
New Rod Stewart is a snooze.
I've only got one more, Gary. Do you want to? We you know what? The show's long today, but look. We've lived a long life.
We've lived a long life.
Life's
old.
Long. You go see a biopic. That thing's coming in 2.5 hours.
At least.
You're getting two biopics in about 60 minutes.
So this is good. Okay, I'll try and head for the home stretch here. There was one. It was going to be...
My last song's about death, and then this will be my last episode.
Oh, no.
Jesus.
It's a foreshadowing.
Now, I was which one was it? It was... This at the very top. About 4 years ago, I discovered something that took away that wanting to throw ham feeling.
Caffeine, Starbucks.
It's caffeine and Starbucks. No, it's something that has brought me a great deal of peace of mind. It's something that's like, let's say that you've like lived in like a studio apartment for 44 years, and then all of a sudden you you find some door and you open it up, like, oh look, I have this big solarium in here. It's so peaceful in here. I could come in and hang out in here. And that's what it was like discovering meditation, Vedic meditation, transcendental meditation. It's called by its brand name, but that's like a different thing. I learned the off-brand way, but it's the same discipline where 20 minutes a day I just get by myself and sit down and repeat my mantra to myself. And then I just go. It's like I'm surfing in the cosmos or something.
And your mantra is Starbucks, right?
It is. It must have more coffee.
Double mocha frappuccino.
So here's a terrible Beach Boy song about... Transcendental meditation called
Emancipate the man and get you feeling great.
Mike Love has a hat on that says meditation.
The meditation boys.
Anyway, I won't put you through any more of that. But if you're curious about the practice at all, I highly recommend it. And
that's a deep, deep album cut.
That is a deep album cut from the Friends.
So you recommend meditation?
It's so great. And it's just because I was always interested in it. And like, I remember like reading like interviews with David Lynch, mm-hmm. saying like that's how he would get a lot of ideas. And heard Howard Stern was into it and
Howard
everything.
Stern.
And like how, what you know what do these two have in common? Mm-hmm. And so, but it is. It makes it, you know who got me into it was Laura House. She's like,
oh wow,
where am I to Laura House? Like, I haven't seen her around. Oh, yeah, haven't you heard? She's in India. She's learning to be a meditation teacher. And when she came back, I took her thing and I was off.
That's
so
awesome.
Check
that
it out.
Amazing.
Check it out. Anyway,
Laura House is a friend of Never Not Funny and a friend of On the Page. So
yeah,
terrific. She's great, a great friend writer. Of Comedy Film Nerd. She's all over the place.
Very funny lady.
So now I covered my wife and my first daughter. So I have to cover my second daughter, yes. Rita. My grandmother's name was Dora.
Uh-huh.
And so that was
I know her.
That was always going to be.
She was an explorer.
She does. And her husband was backpack. And but he wasn't my grandfather. He was actually my step-grandfather. Okay. Was
and you were actually christened as Map.
I was.
Map Francis.
I'm the map. So anyway, Rita's name was always going to be, name was going to be Dora. Uh-huh. So, and we were going to name her Anna. Mm-hmm. And then one day Pilar goes, we can't name her Anna Dora Dotson because her initials will be ADD.
Right.
And kids will make fun of her. And I was like, you think so? And she's like, yeah. I'm like, okay.
She also, for a little while, looked almost exactly like Dora the Explorer.
She kind of did. Yeah, she had the haircut. Yeah. So we didn't have a first name. So just one day when we were driving around and doing whatever we were doing, I had a Jim Blossoms CD on. And the song Mrs. Rita came on, mm-hmm. and I just said, "What about Rita?" And we were both like, "You know what? That's a cool name. You don't. It's not like other names that you hear at the schoolyard ad nauseum." And we went with it. I still think she's the only Rita in K through 8 at her school.
Wow,
she's Rita. So this is Mrs. Rita.
Mrs. Rita, what's it say in my tarot? Read my palm and tell me why do lovers come and go? Is she coming round for me once again around? Or was that the end?
So did you have to go through that song after you did that and be like, let's just make sure that there isn't some weird lyrics in
learning
here.
Disabilities or anything.
No, we actually didn't. We just, that was it. She was Rita and what if
it had been about a prostitute?
Well, Matt, I'm sure, look, someday someone might write a song about a prostitute and call it Rita. So yeah, I'm
actually working on it right now.
I can't. Well, that's not.
She was this close to being named Hey Jealousy. So let's be happy.
And if it's okay, I'm writing a song about your unborn son called Junkie.
Ooh.
So, ooh.
Come on. That's
a weird thing.
It's a load of the belt.
I'm kidding. Bryce is his name, right? Bryce the Junkie. Let me write that down. Gary, anything else?
Yeah, I'm going to skip ahead I'll spare you any stories about our adorable three cats. I had love cats all queued up and ready to go.
Oh, boy.
From The Cure. But I'll go right ahead to a song that probably sums up my personal philosophy and could be a good title for the book, too. And it's from New Zealand. It's The Chills. It's called Look for the Good in Others, and they'll see the good in you. Thanks for listening, Rock Solid.
Thank you.
There you have it.
I like it.
Thanks.
I like it. Well, that's our show.
Oh, wait. Don't you have one more? Weren't you have one
I do. I have a playout song.
Oh, there's a playout song. Okay. Well, yeah. So
I thought that was a playout song. You said thanks for listening to Rock Solid.
Oh, I guess so. Huh? Yeah.
Well, I got it.
That was confusing.
There's a lot of endpoints in this.
There's a lot of endpoints. Like, and life goes on.
Director's cut. Yeah.
Life goes on. The music goes on. My, you played New Counting Crows a couple weeks ago.
Yes.
And they did an all covers album.
Right.
This is an artist that has a new album out this week, Bonnie Raitt.
Oh, yeah.
It's called Slipstream. And it's not a covers album, but she does do one cover, a Jerry Rafferty song.
Ooh.
Called Right Down the Line. And here's her take on that.
Let's hear that.
A little bit different. Thanks for listening to Rock Solid. Follow us on Twitter and like us on Facebook.
Tell a friend and write a review.
And if we could miss an episode in the future, 1 week because of Matt's baby, but we're all excited about that. Another member of the Never Not Funny family.
Just go back and catch up that week.
Yeah, just go back and catch up.
Absolutely.
Yeah, nice.
All right.
Love you. Mwah.
Bye.
Bye, Matt.